Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. For Thursday, January 3rd, 2019, episode 14.18, the Wild Card Weekend Show. I'm Steven Miranda. He's Steve Fry. Happy New Year.
Happy playoffs. Happy playoffs.
Welcome to 2019, everybody. Steve and I wish everyone out there listening a healthy and prosperous New Year. And Steve won't even get to the crazy stories about what New Year's Day was all about for him. But it's playoff time, people. The tournament is set, and we are down to the final 12 teams. Chiefs, Patriots, Texans, Ravens, Chargers, and Colts in the AFC. Saints, Rams, Bears, Cowboys, Seahawks, and Eagles in the NFC. Yes, I said Eagles. Why? Because the Vikings let the Eagles into the party. Stupid Minnesota. Steve and I are also going to answer some of your questions, and we'll quickly talk about the NFL's coaching carousel with 8 coaching vacancies. Teams don't even wait for Monday anymore. My goodness. Plus, what the heck is going on with AB in Pittsburgh? Whew. Steve and I will get you ready for all of that and Wild Card Weekend with our picks. Let's chop it in.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Steve Fry with NFL Rants and Raves.
Steve, 2019, buddy.
It is 2019. We're only 3 days in. I'm still writing 2018 on checks.
Yeah, well, you're probably going to do that for another 2-3 weeks. Come on, everybody does that.
I know, but.
But who, wait a minute, did you say writing, who writes checks anymore? You write checks?
No, okay, so it was signing some legal documents okay. in the office. Okay?
There you go.
But I'm signing legal documents, so it's this time of year it's always, okay, 2019, 1-3-2018. Darn it!
Yeah. Even you telling yourself.
Muscle memory.
Sometimes that happens. I'm already looking forward to 2020. Can we just skip 2019 and get to 2020?
Why? What about 2020 are you looking forward to so much you're willing to give up an entire year?
I don't know. I really don't know. I just 2018 kind of ended in a dud, and now 2019 has kind of started dud-like. And so I'm not.
How is it starting like a dud?
Well, you know,
what is disappointing about the end of last year and the first 3 days of this year so far?
Well, I can't complain too much. Let's just say that the illnesses that are usually done by now are still kind of lingering, and so there's a lingering effect throughout the whole house. And I have what is I believe is the case of the malaise.
Okay.
I've got the malaise. I don't know what the malaise is, and everybody that I talk to says, "What is malaise?" But that's what I've got.
No, I understand. I have yet to kind of get recharged, really in my work environment. I'm really yet to get recharged into 2019.
That's what it was.
It's kind of like, all right, so we're done, and I'm not quite ready to go yet.
I've had a couple of work days already, and I've been at work just kind of like, malaise.
I don't really want to be here. I'm not sure I want to do any actual work, so I'll pretend to do some click work.
I'll close a couple tickets out.
Right.
I'm out.
I'm with you on that.
So there's that. But no. Hey, Texas won. We beat the bejesus out of Georgia. I'm happy about that. Hook 'em. Bevo almost killed a dog.
On
national TV. That was awesome, man. I mean, folks, if you have not seen, just Google Bevo Texas Longhorn mascot meets Uga, the Georgia Bulldog.
The first time I saw it, you go through it's what, like a 8-second video or something. You watch the first 5 seconds, you're like, what there's nothing here. And then suddenly this bullhorn comes. People, like reporters, photographers, go scattering to
everywhere.
The wind, and this bull comes in, you know.
I had never seen in my life, and I've seen Bevo live on many occasions. He went through that barricade like it was not there. He wanted a piece of that dog.
Yes, he did. Yes.
And I think that set the tone for the game. Texas came out and said, did you see Bevo? did you see that?
Because I'm sure they weren't fired up to go play Georgia before their bull mascot charged a bulldog.
And I'm seeing you in our throats.
We're both out of it. So if once in a while we all start talking a little lower than normal, or our voices are.
But check it out, Bebo versus Uga. Just quick question before we get to it. We got a lot to talk to, but who thought it was a good idea to say, let's put a red sweater on a dog and bring him over and introduce him to a Longhorn Bull?
So the first part of that, a red sweater, what color sweater would you put on the Georgia Bulldog?
First of all, I wouldn't put a sweater on a dog. That's the first thing. I'm not putting a sweater on a dog. But
we're not talking about a dog. We're talking about a mascot.
Okay.
I mean, it is a dog who's a mascot. I get that. Trust me, I know what we're talking about. But it's not somebody's pet. It is a mascot.
It is a mascot. I understand it. But you have
to
understand.
And also somebody's pet.
Do
somebody
you
takes care
not
of a dog,
know but. Matadors and bullfighting? What does the bull charge?
And why is that Georgia's fault?
A red cape.
So what? I understand, but why is what they put on their bulldog?
No, if you want to put, all I'm saying is if you want to put a red sweater on your dog, that's fine. Don't bring him near the bull.
I agree with your second part.
That's going to charge you because it's trained.
Go get a cubicle wall and put it so they can't see each other. Yes.
To charge red. He's going to charge red. That's what bulls do.
Well,
that's
great.
What they're known
I don't
for.
Think the bulldog even moved. I mean, I think he kind of looked at the charging bull like, yeah, bring it.
Yeah, and the trainer kind of like,
yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, somebody else reacted.
The dog booked it. The dog, once he got that little yank, he booked it out of there. He was like, I'm out. I don't want no part of that. And the horn. But the thing is that the horn got there. So he lowered his head. The horn got down to the ground. And I am just thankful that he didn't spear the dog with his horn.
Or anyone else.
Or anyone else.
Yeah.
But you know, because, you know, I'm just – you know, there's that that organization out there that was demanded that he get put down or something stupid like that. So,
something about people eating tasty animals?
Yes, the ethical – the eating of tasty animals.
All right.
We're going to get a call from Peter tomorrow.
Oh,
anyways, people –
my stand-up career has ended already.
Playoffs is here, baby. This is what we live for the NFL season. NFL Rants and Raves is all about the playoffs. And – I at least got my team in the playoffs. How about that?
I'm very happy that one of us is happy about having a team in the playoffs.
Yes. And I didn't have my, you know, because my Super Bowl pick was Dallas-Pittsburgh way, way back in August to start the season. It was looking like, hey, they're both going to make the playoffs. That's at least a good thing. And then the Steelers collapsed into a pile of nothingness.
And we talked about this when we came over on Sunday, that – the Browns were very, very close. Baker Mayfield was almost very, very close to becoming a Steeler legend.
For both Pittsburgh and Cleveland
right.
in the same day.
Yes.
He had it.
Yep. Oh, well.
And then he didn't have it, and it went a little like this. He died. Throws a pick to the Ravens.
Game over. Yep.
I mean, he actually would have. He would have been in Baltimore. He would have become a legend in three areas: Baltimore
right.
for killing him, Pittsburgh for bringing him into the playoffs, and Cleveland for giving him their first winning season in like a skajillion years.
Because don't forget that last drive for the Browns. I think it was the last drive.
Yeah, it was their last drive.
It was the pass to Landry that was incomplete. It was reviewed for 20 minutes,
right?
And they came back and said, yeah, he caught it.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
So here's Baltimore, who last year got taken out week 17
right.
with some reviews happening.
Questionable.
And now suddenly they are very close. If Mayfield, one or two more passes into field goal
range,
kick the field goal and win, that's 2 years in a row that Baltimore has had. Now they're building a legacy of week 17, the officials potentially being blamed for them being kicked out.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they're here. They're in the playoffs. Wild card weekend is set, four games: Indy at Houston, Seattle at Dallas, LA Chargers at Baltimore, Philadelphia at Chicago. And I look at this and I do feel sorry for the Los Angeles Chargers. You have the best record in the AFC, tied with Kansas City. The only reason you're not number one is because of the crazy, you know,
tiebreaker
rules
yep.
with the NFL, but you're 12-4, just like the Chiefs. Best record in the AFC, and your reward for that hard work is you have to go on the road, play week one wild card weekend in Baltimore.
In Baltimore, yes.
Yeah. That
probably the worst matchup for the Chargers.
Yeah, that's
of
that's
all not, of the AFC playoff not. Teams.
And
if they were playing Houston, they were playing Indianapolis, they were playing, you know, Patriots even,
yeah,
it'd be a better matchup then.
So real quickly, before we get to our questions from the listeners, I'll ask you this question. Is it maybe time for the NFL to consider get the best six records? Forget divisions, because your divisions are there to, okay, you got the rivalries, and that's all good. But at the end of the day, you're punishing the Chargers for having the best record in their conference. This is a punishment.
All right, so I don't think we have any situations where a divisional second place divisional team missed the playoffs that had a better record, right? So
right.
We have the best.
We haven't had that, but
we have
a situation.
The best, this year we have the best six records.
Right.
From the AFC and the NFC.
Correct.
But the seeding is
based
such
on
that
who
the
wins
wild,
the division.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So what I'm thinking is, I'm thinking because Kansas City and the Chargers, Los Angeles, would have been 1-2.
Right.
They both would have gone to bye. And isn't that good for having the best record in the conference?
I agree.
Isn't that what you should expect?
Yeah.
I worked hard to have the best record in the conference. Yeah, it just so happens that it's tied with another. But we should be 1-2.
Yes. And, I'm with you. I agree.
Yeah, and everything. I mean, just a few years ago.
I don't know that I want to change how you get into the playoffs. So the four divisional winners and the two next best records
but
of the four.
But once you get those six,
right,
it's sorted by records.
Right. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't want to
still
see,
have the four division winners and the two next best records.
Yeah, I don't want to see like the Jets, Patriots, and Dolphins all make it because they have the best three records because they all beat up on, you know, whatever. So
yeah.
I don't want three teams just because it's a crappy division making it in.
Yeah. No, I understand. So, definitely, I'm with you. You still have your four division winners and you have your two wild card teams, the two next best records. And then you sort them via their records.
Yep.
And that's 1-6.
I'm in favor of that.
Because this just feels really, really bad for the Chargers. So there you go. Okay, we're in favor of that. NFL, if you're listening, we'll work out the details for
yep.
you guys.
And you can pay our finder's fee for this whole structure.
Yes.
We'll send over our checking accounts.
Give us a call. Give us a call. All right. Did say we're going to answer some questions that we've gotten on Twitter and Facebook from some of our listeners. But first off, let's take a look at the eight vacancies.
Ooh.
Eight vacancies in the National Football League. Eight coaches that were fired. Dude, here's the situation. Jets, Dolphins, Broncos, Bucks, Bengals, Packers, Cardinals, and Browns. We already knew about the Packers and the Browns. They did theirs, you know, midseason. But Sunday wasn't even over yet. The morning games had completed. We're into like the second quarter of the afternoon games. Boom. Jets go. Jets let Todd Bowles go. Then Dolphins say goodbye to Adam Gase. And then Tampa Bay Buccaneers, goodbye Cutter. And it's just like, what? I still got Sunday Night Football left. Let me enjoy Tennessee Titans and Indianapolis Colts win and you're in kind of scenario before you start telling me who's fired.
I have to start picking up on news, yeah, let's finish the games.
It was crazy. Like, teams don't even wait for Monday anymore. It's like Cutter's in the locker room after a loss there at the end of the season, and they're like, dude, don't even bother getting on the bus. You're fired.
Right. Yeah,
we're moving on from you. Dude, Steve Wilks. It's just 1 year. It's a one-and-done scenario in Arizona. You're not even going to give me a chance?
And, like, that one, you have to just assume that they've got somebody else in mind already.
But here's the craziness about
Arizona decides, look, he's just not our guy.
But they had a ton
of
injuries.
You haven't given him a chance to do anything, right?
They had some firings mid-season of coordinators and stuff. Halfway through the season, you just start Rosen. You got a rookie now. You made the mistake. why is it Wilkes' fault and not the GM, who kind of like messed around all season with players and other staff members?
This might be the GM trying to cover it up, that he made a mistake or something, or that he's not
he's
making
Sam
bad
Bradford
decisions.
Thing, yes. Right? The Sam Bradford experiment right. that they had going on.
So, like, I understand why the Browns fired Hugh when they did. Okay, I don't know that they saw a future there. It just, he wasn't necessarily turning the team the way they needed to. They invested all this money in first-round picks and a lot of other players that they brought in free agency. Hugh wasn't making the changes that were needed in Cleveland to see what we saw the back end of the season, right? I understand why the Packers fired McCarthy early. So, I mean, the Packers at that point, they weren't technically done, but they were basically done. Like, they're done for the season. Clearly, it's not going anywhere. Let Mike go off. And
we could start working on
what we're going to do. Yeah, Packers can start openly talking about what they're going to do. McCarthy can maybe start having conversations with other GMs if he's looking for a move or a change. Or he can take a couple of weeks off before he has to start interviewing. Whatever that happens to be, you give Mike a chance to kind of get himself out there early. What's the difference between waiting, you know, doing it Sunday afternoon versus waiting till Monday morning? Let them get home. Let them sleep in their own bed overnight. Bring them in the next day and let them go.
I mean, that's what I don't. There's
Sunday
nothing.
Sunday night, they're not going to start contacting other GMs that I want a job. And likely, if they're going to do that, but they haven't been fired, it's because they know they're going to be. Like they say, I'm 99% sure I'm going to be let go, even though they haven't told me yet. But these coaches aren't going to do anything Sunday night. Wait until Monday. Wait until it's done.
Don't
interrupt our wonderful Sunday night football.
Yeah, maybe the league. Here's another thing for the league. Talk to your GMs. Talk to your owners. Hey, let's not fire everybody on the last day of the season. Let's let the season actually be completed. Let's let that Sunday night football game, let the 0-0-0 on the clock. Now our season is done. Wait till the next morning. Do your firing. Why does it have to be Sunday afternoon? I don't get it.
I think you and I should take over running the NFL.
At least
year. We would take, half the salary combined.
Correct.
Than what's currently being paid.
Two heads are better than one.
Exactly. I mean, really, I can make decisions and you can take the fall for them. It'd work out perfectly.
All right. So of those eight teams I mentioned, Jets, Dolphins, Broncos, Bucks, Bengals, Packers, Cardinals, Browns. If you were in position to be a head coach and these teams come calling, which one would be most attractive to you?
That's tough.
There are a couple teams on this list that I would love to be the head coach for.
Well, so it depends on a whole lot of different things. Look, the Packers job is obviously prestigious. There's no Jerry Jones type owner to have an ego to tell you what you can and can't do. It's run by an executive committee.
And you
there's,
have arguably
there's
the best quarterback in the league.
You've got the best quarterback, but what else is around him to really do it? So you start running into questions.
But you can mold it. You can. That's the thing.
Can you mold it quickly enough to still utilize Aaron Rodgers?
I think so.
I'm not saying it's impossible, but if you look at the Cleveland job,
yeah,
it's been molded.
That is my other job.
Of small pieces around it.
Yes.
And since you've got a few people between our Browns owner and the head coach that might be a little bit more stable, I think that job might be a little bit better. It's going to produce a better record in the short run than I think the Packers job would.
Right.
But I think you would have more room for error in the Packers job. I mean, you could do the Packers job for 8 years before they say, well, you know, you haven't put more than a 9-6 season up there. It's probably time to go. Whereas the Browns, I think you need to start showing next season a playoff caliber team.
Because
they've got the pieces to do it.
They have a great
question.
Defense.
Yep.
Defense kept them in all the games all season, just like we said at the beginning of the year.
And Baker steadily improved
QB.
Game after game. Steadily
Chubb
improved.
Chubb has been really good at the running back position. He's a young guy. He's a rookie as well. You can work on the receiving core. Offensive linemen seem pretty solid. You got a great tight end in Njoku that can grow and possibly mature into something special. So that's a very attractive. I don't believe that I've ever found myself saying, oh, yeah, that's an attractive job being the head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, think about 2-3 years ago. They would be the bottom of this list without question.
Right.
Like, we wouldn't even be talking about them.
Yeah, no, they're at the top. I would be weary of the Buck job.
Yes.
With their whole indecisiveness, non-committal, Jameis Winston is our quarterback. He's not our quarterback. Yes, he is our quarterback. No, he's not our quarterback. I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I want to go into that situation. I don't know if I can win with Jameis Winston.
There are a lot in there that, I mean, Denver.
Well, but once again.
You've got front office commitment to build something, but is there anything there to build a foundation? Do you have the foundation there now?
I think you have some pieces. You need to rework your offense.
Look, it's hard to stay. It's hard to stay
on the defensive side.
How many teams do we see that peak and then five, six seasons later they tank? They pick up one or two early picks in the draft, and they fill those pieces, and then they come back. So they're oscillating between great and horrible every 8 years or something.
Yeah.
To be a team like the Packers have been for the last 20 years, to be the Patriots for the last 15, 20 years, it's hard to maintain that level of production, and that's the problem. That's where I see the problem with Denver, is that they haven't gotten bad enough to be able to go get key pieces.
Right.
But they're not good enough to have a foundation to build with a few key receivers or something around there.
Yeah, I like the Broncos' defense. I think they got some pieces there. It's their offense that worries me. Don't have a quarterback. What Philip Lindsay did as an unrestricted undrafted free agent was pretty phenomenal for him, but I don't think he's your long-term solution at running back.
Yeah.
You let go of Demaryius Thomas when you traded him away to Houston, so you have Sanders, you have a bunch of young guys. So you have to work on your offense, and you still need a defensive player, key defensive player or two.
Right, so if you're going to start, if you're going to build that around a quarterback somewhere, the draft class isn't robust with great quarterbacks. Now, I mean, somebody could surprise us. They could find a diamond in the rough that we don't know of right now that really, really produces well in the NFL.
Yeah.
But are you going to go find somebody in free agency? Are you going to trade for somebody? Kirk Cousins? Alex Smith?
Kirk Cousins will be available, by the way. $85 million. Stupid Vikings. Don't even get me started on the Vikings right now. I missed three games last week in Week 17, Steve. One was the stupid Vikings. Why didn't I just take the Bears? I should have known the Bears were going to beat them. All right, I'm out. Okay, let's get to one more thing. I got to talk about this. Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
So this was crazy. Like, usually during the season, there's all kinds of craziness in Pittsburgh. We had the Le'Veon Bell situation, and then there's always some craziness with some player doing something or whatever. And it's like, what? Why are they always this infighting within the Pittsburgh Steelers? All of a sudden, it comes out late on Sunday, Monday. Hey, Antonio Brown, that Week 17, it wasn't because he was injured. He didn't play because he was injured. He walked out on practice. He threw a ball at a player. We find out later that player is Ben Roethlisberger, the quarterback. They're apparently angry at each other. Ben Roethlisberger's telling reporters that, hey, I've been texting AB. He won't reply to my text. He won't talk to me or anything like that. And then all of a sudden, AB's like, I want to trade. I want to trade out of Pittsburgh. And what the hell? It's the off season. Usually this happens during the season. You guys, the season hasn't been over for a couple of days. You're already like asking for trades. And then I find out from my wife, there's this new stupid show on Fox called The Masked Singer, all right?
Yeah.
And it's like everybody's there. They come out and they sing wearing these costumes. And then these you know, the Chong guy from The Hangover and some other people. And they're like, oh, I think you're so-and-so. Yeah, right, dude. Like Lady Gaga's going to freaking, you know, give up her career to come freaking do a stupid show for Fox. No, thank you. Don't name any A-list. There's not going to be any A-listers up there. You know who the first unmasked singer was?
No.
Antonio Brown.
Jeez. Oh,
Antonio freaking Brown.
When did they film?
I don't know, but what the hell is he doing this show? When does he have time to do the show when he's playing football in the middle of the football season? What if they were in the playoffs? The show just started, and I don't know how long it's going to continue. What if he wasn't unmasked in the first week?
Right.
Can he even sing?
I
think he's starting to practice.
I think our homework for next week is we have to.
No, I'm not. Yeah. No. You couldn't pay me enough money to watch that show.
Oh, come on.
maybe you could pay me some money to watch the show.
You could pay me to watch that show.
Yeah, you probably could pay me.
But yes. You would have to pay me.
Yes,
to watch that
I would
show.
Need to get paid. Yes, absolutely.
So the problem, I don't know where Brown's going to go. He demands a trade. So next year, he is due $15
million. I'm paying $15
million for him. 12.6 in base and a $2.5 million roster bonus. Who's going to take that contract?
Nobody.
So he can demand a trade, but he's not going anywhere.
Nope. And I don't think – so, one, I don't think the Steelers have to trade him, one. But, two, are the Steelers in danger of losing their running – well, they're losing their running back. Le'Veon Bell's not coming back to Pittsburgh next year. But now they're in danger of losing their number one wide receiver. And it maybe it's because, Juju Smith-Schuster, he balled out this season. He looked pretty good. Maybe he started getting more targets and AB could see the writing on the wall and started getting upset. I don't know.
Yeah, so the problem is he's going to complain. He's going to demand trades. He's going to be a prima donna about wanting to get more targets, whatever it's going to be, get trades. Look, he just finished his second year of a four-year with an option to extend for a fifth. I mean, nobody's going to pick up this contract and pay him, what, 15 this year? Or no, it's a total of 15 this year, 11.3 in the 2020 season.
Yeah, no, it's crazy to.
I mean, somebody's going to need a receiver badly to pay that. What are they giving up to get it on top of that? I mean, they're giving a first round
he's
and something, so he's not going anywhere.
If he goes anywhere, it's because the Steelers release him and he's not getting any more of that money.
Right.
But the Masked Singer, I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious when they filmed it.
All right, let's get to listener questions. We'll start on Twitter, where Tomas Rancy asks, how important do you think QB's previous experience from playoffs will be? And I'm looking at the AFC, and you got Tom Brady with a whole heck of a lot of playoff experience. You got Andrew Luck with a little bit of playoff experience. You got Philip Rivers, who's had some plays. He's not been very successful.
It hasn't been successful experience, but he has experience.
Got some experience. Then you got Lamar Jackson.
None.
Deshaun Watson. None. And Patrick Mahomes. None.
He hasn't played 16 games in a life yet.
Ever.
Yeah. Neither is Jackson, but still it's.
Yeah. So
adding a 17th, wow.
How important is, look, at some point, experience means that, obviously Tom Brady, he's been, in like 27 postseason games or something ridiculous like that. He's won several Super Bowls. Experience for him, it means something. You can't throw something at Tom Brady that he hasn't seen yet.
Right.
And that's going to possibly hurt. The same thing for Rivers. You're not going to throw anything at Philip Rivers that he hasn't seen yet. Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, they can't say that. They can't say, we've seen it all. There's nothing that you're going to do that's going to surprise me.
Right.
And I think that's where the experience comes in. You're not going to rattle Luck. You're not going to rattle Rivers. You're not going to rattle Brady. But the other guys, you can rattle them.
Well, I think you can rattle the first three as well.
You differently, though.
You
hit them. Yeah, you rattle them by hitting them.
Yeah. We've seen Brady, we've seen Rivers not be able to perform well with an up-the-middle pass rush.
You get after them and you hit them. That is how you rattle those guys.
Right.
But defensively, like scheming, I guess, is what I'm talking about. Yeah. You're not going to throw a scheme out there that they've not seen.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to hide a man-to-man or a zone or whatever
you're doing. You're not going to really disguise it from those guys. You will hit. If you hit them, you get to them, and you start hitting them, putting some hits, applying some pressure, yes, you can
rattle.
And
at least two of the three of these guys are going to have the experience and the freedom from their coaches to start audibles and react to what they see in the
huddle. How many audibles are
as they're approaching the line, yeah.
Watson, Jackson, and Mahomes really at liberty to do, especially now that it's the playoffs. That experience is it's good to have. And you are right. The question is good by Tomas that there's a lot of inexperience. I mean, Dak, this is his second – He's been in the playoffs before, but come on, it's not like he's had a lot of playoff games. It was one. So,
right. I think it matters a lot.
Nick Foles won a Super Bowl last year. Came in and won a Super Bowl.
I mean, every game is important. Every team goes out to win every week.
Right.
Sometimes they might prepare more than others, but they're out there to win every week. But now once you get into the playoffs and it's a one and done.
Yeah.
I guess the flip side of how much does playoff experience matter, when you're somebody like a, I mean, maybe not Brady, but when you're somebody like a Rivers, you know, you're seeing that clock tick towards the end of your career.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're looking at, I've got three games to the Super Bowl. Do you start playing a little, I don't want to say scared, but with a little bit more urgency?
No, I think there's
when I say urgency, like nervous, not good urgency. Like you start making bad decisions because you're so desperate. Because again, like Brady,
I can't see how many
Super Bowls did he has? What, four or five Super Bowls already? You know,
three are, you know, with an asterisk, but still.
Well, okay, yeah. Well, we're not going to bring that up. So
no, we're not going to bring that up.
Well, we might bring it up, just not this right now. So
all right, another Twitter question. Richard Widows asked. He says he's backing all QBs in their first playoff games to win. That's
I'm sorry, what was
he's backing all QBs in their first playoffs to win.
Okay.
So that would be the likes of Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Trubisky, Mahomes. So he's backing all those guys to win their games, right? Okay. Who do you think is most vulnerable this weekend? And, you know, not to tip my pick or anything, I think it's Lamar Jackson. Because he has come in a crazy situation for Baltimore. Has won six out of the last seven games for Baltimore. Propelled him into the playoffs. But he's done it kind of in an unusual manner where he's had to rely on his feet more than throwing the football. I don't know that I think that's going to make it.
So the two rookie quarterbacks are the only two first-time quarterbacks. I guess we've got, yeah.
Yeah, we had Deshaun Watson. This is his first playoff.
Yeah, Watson, Jackson, and Trubisky, right?
Yes, or this weekend.
Yep.
Mahomes is his first playoff,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but it's next week.
Next
so.
Week.
Yeah, I mean, I think Trubisky – the team hasn't depended on him to win this season.
Correct.
So there shouldn't be any pressure on him to put the team on his shoulders to win. So that team's going to win on its defense, really, no matter how well Trubisky plays or doesn't play, right?
Right.
Houston, somewhat the similar. I mean, they've got a stronger offense without question than the Bears do, and their defense isn't quite as good as the Bears.
But it's not going to be all on Watson's shoulders.
Like the defense can keep Houston in the game if Watson makes mistakes. Baltimore, that's the one where that rushing game has been so successful because you've got a quarterback that you have to respect, both with his arms and his legs, that you can't just beat up on the running back. But, yeah, if they...
So which one is the most vulnerable this weekend?
I think Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in agreement there. I think it's Jackson, too. Only because I think the crazy thing about this game between the Chargers and the Ravens, look, they just played each other 3 weeks ago, dude. They were just out here in L.A. So the Chargers know all we have to do is not turn the ball over. That's really what did the Chargers in that game. I think they had four turnovers in that game. They cut that in half or have none. I don't think Baltimore was able to win the football game. So that's going to be a good one to watch. All right, let's see another Facebook question from our good friends out there. Derek Hanlon says, what home field advantage matters most? Casey? It's crazy to play in Arrowhead. I mean, that place gets super loud. Now, I know they don't play this weekend, but the fact that they're the number one seed and they get to play their home games, their playoff games at home, that matters most this weekend. I think the Cowboys are
this weekend. I think the Cowboys would
got an advantage.
Yeah,
Seattle was 4-4 on the road.
I guess there are two things. Which one is a more challenging place to play in.
Right.
Just as far as the stadium, the noise, the environment, I'd almost probably have to put Soldier Field in there because it's not
Chicago.
It shouldn't be warm. I mean, I haven't seen the forecast, but it's going to be cold. So, Philly won't have the problem because it's cold in Philly too.
So Soldier Field.
But if you were the Chargers, if you were Seattle, if you're a team that's not used to the cold, going in there would be difficult.
Right.
But if you're looking at which team takes advantage of their home field advantage the best, I think it's Dallas.
Yeah.
Dallas is so much better at home than they are
than
on the
they
road.
Are on the road. And on the flip side of that, Seattle was this year was 4-4 on the road.
Right.
And their four wins came about teams with losing records.
Right.
So, that's a good question. Home field advantage. I'll say overall it's going to be Kansas City, and they're very fortunate they got the number one seed, because going into Kansas City and getting a win is going to be tough for any of the other teams. It's just going to be super tough. All right. Thomas says, have you heard Primetime's comment that Aaron Rodgers will not win a Super Bowl if he stays in Green Bay?
No, I've not heard
that. But what? Aaron Rodgers will not win another Super Bowl if he stays in Green Bay. Why?
All right.
How can he say that?
So clearly, I'm going to get in here because clearly I've been reading a lot on what's been happening here. What McCarthy's downfall. So as best I can kind of follow from people who seem to know a lot about football more than I do. We've got a lot of West Coast offenses out there. You know,
yes.
But the challenge is that what McCarthy did is he put out an offense that was essentially the basic West Coast offense. There was no imagination in it. There was nothing.
Nothing new to that West Coast offense.
Right, nothing new. He didn't put any spin. He didn't do anything. McDaniel's out in New England.
Yeah, the Patriots.
Lots of twists in there for how that offense is run. When you look at the Rams, when you look at KC, when you look at even the Saints, these offenses, many of them have good receivers, like standout strong receivers, but they have most of those receivers are average. When you go to the Patriots, there's not a above average superstar receiver on the team, but they're always able to get somebody open. The movement, the routes, the blocking, everything they do. With those offenses, those coordinators or head coaches have been able to design offenses that get a receiver open on every play. So when you watch Mahomes play, when he fires a ball and it goes incomplete, you think, well, whatever, he made an incompletion. The next play, we know we're going to have one or two receivers wide open. The offense that McCarthy has been running in Green Bay for the last couple of years isn't getting anybody open.
Right.
So even when you have great receivers, they're not getting open. So I'm not going to disagree with the statement. If they don't bring somebody, like if they bring in somebody with no imagination, they can't reinvent that offense. So if they bring in a defensive specialist and just somebody who's going to let Aaron run the offense, I would agree. Aaron's not going to win a Super Bowl in Green Bay. He has to leave to win a Super Bowl. If they bring in somebody who's willing to find some creative ways to amend the offense that's already there, because we don't need to upend the entire West Coast offense. It's been proven by how many other teams in the NFL right now.
You need to make it your own.
You need to make it your own. You need to twist it. You need to add some creativity. Then you need to teach Rodgers. And it sounds silly to teach Rodgers, but I don't know how much education Rodgers has been getting from his coaching staff.
Right.
I think it's been, here's the playbook. Let's go practice and scrimmage the playbook. But are you teaching Rodgers how the movement works?
Where you need to be looking.
I mean, Rodgers is at a point in his career now where he doesn't need to try to fire a ball into an opening the size of a squirrel and hope his receiver catches it. He can sit back and dance around for 5 seconds, throw the ball away, and he's fine. He hasn't had a great season this season, but if he were to get somebody who could design schemes on the offense that get one of his receivers open, with two or three of the veteran receivers he's got and a slew of really good, you know, up-and-coming rookie receivers, a little tweak in that playbook with a couple of new schemes on the playbook, I think the Packers' offense could blow up next year and could be as good as any of these other offenses in KC or LA that we're seeing. So it's going to depend on the coaching team, the coaching staff that they bring in to replace McCarthy. If they bring the right staff in, the Packers are actually very close to being able to be back in the Super Bowl picture in the next 3-4 years.
Right.
Like, for the next 3-4 years. Like, I don't know that they need new personnel even. They just need a different, a little bit more creative on the offense.
Right.
If they bring in the wrong guys, yeah. If nothing changes, then.
So no ill will towards, you know, prime time it is.
Right.
Comment.
No, I mean, I think it's a valid comment, but we won't know whether it's going to be true or not until we see who they put in place as the coach.
All right. Here we are, Steve, 20 minutes away from showtime. Now we've got to give our picks 4 games only. Do you think we could, you know, talk 4 games in 20 minutes?
It's going to be hard.
Let's start Saturday at 1:35 p.m. Pacific time. The Indianapolis Colts travel to Houston to face the Houston Texans. All right. See, this is going to be very interesting. Let's just do some real quick housekeeping, Steve.
Yes.
The challenge game currently stands after 17 weeks, 10 for me, 6 for you, and 1 tie. So we just throw the tie out. It's 10-6. There are, in essence, 4 weeks left. Wild card, divisional, championship, Super Bowl. So do you know what that means?
I got to start a streak of my own here.
In order for us to make the Super Bowl count towards the challenge game, you got to win 3 in a row.
Yep. Here we go.
And it's very difficult if we're going to pick all the same teams. So we'll start this one. I'm going to say I've got the Indianapolis Colts. I've been very impressed with Andrew Luck and what the Colts have been able to do over the last second half of the season. They just got very hot. Recently, 4 weeks ago, they beat Houston, took care of Houston in Houston. Were in a – basically, their playoff started last week because it was win and you're in, lose and you go home. So they had to win the game. Fortunately for me, you had to rely on Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah.
And Tennessee. That didn't work out too good.
No, not so well.
And I think they carry that momentum into Houston. Look, I like Houston. Obviously, I like Houston. Obviously, now what I am wishing for, now that I don't have Cowboy Steelers to take me back to the 70s, is what I'm wishing for is for the Super Bowl that I've always wanted my entire life, is all Texas, Dallas, Houston in the Super Bowl. I would love that. That would be great.
That would be great for Texas fans.
For everybody.
Sure, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for Texas fans.
For everybody outside of Texas who cares about Texas, it would be good.
However, I just can't bring myself and I can't see myself picking Houston in this game because I don't see them winning. Something about Houston always happens. Come this time, they get into the playoffs. Everybody's really high on them. They're going to be on home. They're going to be at home, and they just – they don't know that it's time to turn that switch one more notch, right?
Right, yep.
You have to take the guitar and take it from 10 to 11.
All right, Marty.
And bring it in the playoffs.
Marty McFly.
Marty McFly, baby. You got to take it to 11.
Yes, you do.
And somehow Houston just doesn't find a way to do that. I think Andrew Luck and the Colts and what Frank Reich has done with that team, they're going to – look, nobody believed in the Colts. The speech that he gave at the end of – after they beat Tennessee and they got into the playoffs, he's like, look, where were we, 1-5?
Yep.
They were – this team wasn't 1-5. Do you know how many 1-5 teams have made the playoffs since the Super Bowl era?
3?
I think it's 2.
2.
They're the third.
Right, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. They're the third.
They're the third team, yes. 2 teams have done it in like a skajillion years. 1-5. They clicked. They found a way. Look, we got to become a team. We got to win one game. We got to win the next game. And they strung a streak of games in here, and they lost only one game since then. When they were sitting at 1-5, they lost only one other game. And they've won some of those games in pretty convincing fashion.
But Houston isn't that much different from that. I mean, they started off.
Well, they were 0-3.
Yep.
And everybody gave them up for dead. And then they ran like 8-9 games in a row.
Yep.
Yeah. I think the Colts are hot going into the playoffs.
So, look, after watching Week 16, watching that Colts game in Week 16, where everybody was talking about, look, they're the team that there's something magical happening here. They're gonna make, you know, there's something happening here in the locker room. I didn't see it. I watched that game. I didn't see anything special. Like I didn't see them. It was the week.
That
16
was the week against
game.
The Giants, right. And they were losing for most of that game.
Right, but it was the Giants. I mean, to make a triumphant comeback against the Giants is okay. I mean, if you did that against, you know, Oakland or Arizona, it'd be the same. Like, okay, good for you. You beat a team you should have been beating already. So I was really down on them. Felt pretty strong that even without Mariota, that Tennessee could take care of business.
Yeah.
And I was clearly wrong on that.
Right.
I mean, Indianapolis didn't beat them, but just a beat down of the Titans.
Yeah, it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just think I'm with Andrew Luck. I'm going to ride this Andrew Luck train. I think those first six games, he was still getting back into a rhythm, back to feeling, hey, I'm getting hit again. I'm playing football again. Woo, let's get in it. And then once they got to that role offensively, Eric Ebron has been a stud. I still love him.
Yep.
If you haven't seen the picture, it's the skinny, wimpy Captain America Steve Rogers when he was wimpy in New York. That was what they say is Eric Ebron when he was with the Detroit Lions. And then he takes the serum and becomes Captain America. And now that's Eric Ebron with the Indianapolis Colts. He has been pretty amazing. 11 touchdowns, I think, 10 or 11 touchdowns on the season. Added to them a pretty, you know, okay running game it's going to be on Andrew Luck's shoulders. If you're telling me that this game is going to be Luck and Deshaun Watson, I'm going to be on Luck's side.
Yeah, I mean, the Houston defense is going to be all over Indianapolis.
And they're going to need to. Clowney and J.J. Watt, they're going to have to step it up. I'm just not sure the secondary of the Houston Texans are going to be able to match up.
Yep.
T.Y. Hilton.
If as long as Colts can get that ball out of Luck's hand quick enough, negate that pass rush.
T.Y. Hilton time.
Yep.
It's going to be a great matchup to watch, though. T.Y. Hilton for the Colts, Hopkins for the Texans. There's going to be some good wide receiver play in this football game. But I'm sticking with the Colts.
I'm with the Colts as well.
And Lady Edith is taking she broke my heart this weekend.
She did.
Broke my heart. But that's right. She's taking the Indianapolis Colts as well. So first game right off the bat, we are all on the road team. Moving on to the late Saturday game, 5:15 p.m. Pacific time, the Seattle Seahawks travel to Texas to face the Dallas Cowboys.
So
I'm not even going to say it.
This is a tough matchup for Dallas.
It is a tough matchup for Dallas. I was sort of thinking, look, I don't know if you saw Seattle in that final game against Arizona.
Yeah.
They almost lost that game.
They did almost lose the game.
Okay. They almost lost that game. For Arizona to be in that game and had them die. I'm dying. 24-24 at the end of that game. It took them, you know, they marched down the field and they won at the end. Good for Seattle. But, look, I thought, man, Arizona wins this game and Minnesota wins. Minnesota's coming to Dallas. And Seattle's got to go to Chicago. I like that. I like that.
That would be a much better matchup.
That
for
would
Dallas,
be great.
Yes.
But then it all kind of collapsed, and Minnesota decided that they forgot how to play offense.
Yeah, or they just forgot to buy
play.
An offense.
No, they bought it. They just
they bought it. They just
spent the $85 million.
They forgot how to put the cartridge in the game machine to make it work. Right. Kept putting it in upside down.
But I take. Look, this game between Seattle and Dallas way back early in September in Seattle, where Seattle won the football game, the Cowboys had turnovers galore. Zeke had a couple fumbles. There was a couple bad interceptions that bounced. Every ball bounced Seattle's way in that football game. And they still barely won. Now you're coming on the road. You're coming to Dallas. Like I said earlier, Seattle was 4-4, four wins on the road, teams with losing records. And total of their 10 wins, 7 of them were against teams with losing records. Their and one was Minnesota. They barely had a winning record, 8-7-1. So
sure, yep.
You call that a winning record. Okay. They had two legitimate wins. They beat the Chiefs and they beat the Cowboys. But they beat those two teams, barely, and in Seattle.
Right.
Now you got to come on the road. I think it's going to be a more hostile environment. Seattle's been depending on the run lately. Here you're going against the Dallas Cowboys that hasn't allowed a 100-yard rusher in like forever and a day. I'm very confident. I've been more confident with picking Dallas this week than I have all year.
Yep. I'm with you on that. So for Seattle, Russell Wilson, when he's got the running game going and it gives him the freedom to on a little play action, on a little some option plays where he can run, throw, hand off, whatever he needs to do, it opens up the field for him. He plays very, very well. But when that rushing game goes away and suddenly he has to win solely with his arm because he's not able to scramble to get anything himself, the arm's not there. Like he's not Tom Brady who's going to sit in the pocket and just distribute that ball to his receivers. He needs a robust offense on all fronts
right.
to really perform. Seattle is awesome at home. On the road, not as much.
Yep.
Dallas is very similar. At home, Dallas is fantastic.
Yes.
On the road, if this were in Seattle, I'm going Seattle all day.
Right.
But because it's in Dallas, I'm with you with Dallas.
I actually thought, I'm not going to lie, I'm going to show you, you know, I put our picks up on the website, and I kind of had them pre-done already. I want you to see what I thought the challenge game was going to be. You ready? You ready? Here we go.
Oh, you were counting on me taking Seattle and riding my 5-game challenge winning streak with Seattle.
No, I was just thinking you're taking Seattle, and I thought really that was the only game we were going to differ on, and
sure.
So it was going to have to be your challenge game.
Okay.
So there you go.
No, my argument behind Seattle winning, I think I've won with Seattle every time when they're at home. I don't know
true.
I don't know that I picked Seattle in a challenge game on the road.
No, you have not. They've
Seattle is good at home, not so much on the road.
All right, so we both have the Dallas Cowboys, and Lady Edith has what? Lady Edith.
What?
Has Seattle?
Yeah, I questioned it. I told her you were going to be disappointed.
Oh, man. Did she not like her time over here on Sunday?
She loved it.
Sunday Night Football was great.
She loved it, but she loves those Seahawks.
She does. She loves the Seahawks. Anytime there's a bird.
That's all it takes is a bird.
That's all it takes is a bird.
Well,
Lady
except
has
the
got
next
the
game.
Seattle Seahawks. Oh, there you go. The next game. All right. We move to Sunday morning, 10:05 a.m. Pacific time. The Los Angeles Chargers travel to Baltimore to face the Baltimore Ravens. Los Angeles Superchargers. Does it work?
You sure?
San Diego, that's 4, right?
Yeah.
Los Angeles. This should theoretically work. It
just
doesn't sound right.
No.
Los Angeles Superchargers.
Look, we're in Hollywood. I'm sure somebody can write a better jingle.
Please. But I like the Superchargers part. So, you know.
Well, we can still use the Superchargers. So.
Have you actually ever heard the full thing?
No.
Do I have it? Let's see if I don't have it queued up.
Tell me we're not going
to
do it.
I don't have. I unfortunately look at you. You don't want to. I'll set it up if you want to hear it.
How about if they win?
Okay, if they win, we'll play it next week.
We will open the show with no. I'm
with
not going to say we're going
to
open.
No,
the
well,
show.
Yeah, let's open the show with. It's got like this disco feel to it. You know, it's like bum bum bum. San Diego. All right. Anyways, there you go. Chargers at Ravens. Once again, I opened the show with, what? I'm looking at your pick. I opened the show with, why are they doing this to the Chargers? It's just mean. Their best record in the league. Well, not in the league, but in the AFC. Why?
Those are the rules. They're not doing anything. They're saying these are the rules.
Sometimes the rules are stupid.
Stupid
rules.
I'm going to love it because hopefully my family isn't listening, but in our family's fantasy league, we had a tiebreaker at the end on week 14.
And it was a stupid tiebreaker rule, wasn't it?
Well, so the problem became that we had a similar tiebreaker question like 5 years ago in the league. So at the time, we put out to a vote and we all discussed it for a week before we determined who was going to win the tiebreaker because we hadn't set tiebreaker rules in place yet. So this time when we had a tiebreaker, I went and implemented the exact same application of what we decided 5 years ago.
Right.
And suddenly my brother, who we were talking about.
Against him.
We were basically talking about his wife getting in or not.
Okay.
Decided that we needed to change what we had put in place 5 years ago. But he wasn't being partial to his wife. And it was just one of these things of what? So now you have a different opinion now that you know it will result in something different.
Right.
I'm with you that we need to change the playoff seeds.
Yes.
You can't do it now.
Well, of course we can't do it now, but
the NFL isn't doing anything to the Chargers. The NFL said, here are the rules, and this is what happened.
But the rules
are
bad. It
sucks for the Chargers.
Yes, it does.
It's bad. There are a lot of bad rules. How many rules have we complained about season long?
Don't get me started. You don't want me going on a rant and rave today. Okay?
No. We don't have time for one.
Okay, we don't.
Don't bring up ties.
Oh, my God.
All right, moving on.
We're in the playoffs. You know there's no ties now. There were ties.
The ties are gone.
Three days ago, but now there's no more ties. Yeah. Just keep playing. Put another corner on the board. Let's go. So stupid. You got me started. All right. I'm going with the Chargers. And for this reason, if you look at the body of work of this team all season long, both of these teams, yeah, it was a little magical change and a transformation that happened with the Baltimore Ravens when they threw Lamar Jackson out there. But I don't think that's going to automatically just translate into the playoffs. The Chargers have been riding this really fantastic season of Phillip Rivers all year long. They had some ups and downs. Look, their four losses came to the Chiefs, the Rams, back-to-back. Those were the early losses. They had a crazy slip-up against the Denver Broncos. And then the Ravens came into town and beat them. So that's three of their losses were against legitimate teams that are in the playoffs. The Denver Bronco loss being the only anomaly. And even in those losses against the Rams, against the Chiefs, against the Ravens, they were in those football games. It's not like they got blown out by anybody. They played some really solid football games. But then to go on the road in crucial games and beat Kansas City in Arrowhead and beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, that showed me, look, this team can play with anybody, anywhere. I don't care where you line them up. They are not afraid of anybody in the AFC. I think they put it all together in this game. And unless some freak show happens where Lamar Jackson just put up some gaudy 190-yard rushing and 250 yards passing through the air and throws for three touchdown passes and scores another two with his legs, Baltimore won't have enough offense to beat the Los Angeles Chargers because the Chargers will not make the same mistake and turn the ball over repeatedly like they did 3 weeks ago when these two teams met.
I don't disagree with a thing you just said. What I'm running into is the Chargers coming all the way to the East Coast and playing a 1 o'clock East Coast time game.
10 a.m. for them.
10 a.m. for them.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're going to be up and ready. Now when I
once
say that,
again, the NFL didn't do them any fairs. Right, they could have made this the afternoon game.
Any of the other three time slots is less of a problem. So for anyone who's traveled for business or pleasure or whatever from the West Coast to the East Coast, the issue isn't waking up in the morning. The challenge is going to bed at night.
Right.
So the alarm goes off. It's 7 a.m. East Coast time. Sure, it's 4 a.m. body time. But the alarm goes off. You'll drag yourself out of bed if you know you got to go someplace and go. The issue is that instead of going to bed at 11 or midnight, you're up. You're laying in bed. You can't fall asleep
until it's 7 o'clock.
Yeah, until it's 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Now suddenly you're getting 4 hours of sleep before you have to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning body time. So they're going to be dragging all day, and then they got to turn around and be warmed up, ready to go, a couple hours after waking up. Whereas if they had an 8 o'clock East Coast time game, if they had the Saturday night game,
yeah.
Look, you don't sleep well Friday night, Saturday, fine. take a nap midday. You're still up by 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You've got a couple hours to get yourself warmed up into game shape, and you're up and going. It is the silliest thing. You wouldn't think that it matters, but it does. They're going to be dragging. They're going to be just... They're not going to be awful because it's a 10 a.m. East Coast or 1 o'clock East Coast game.
Right.
What it's going to be is they're going to be just a half a step slower than they would be if the game was at night. And that's all the difference it's going to make for Baltimore with that rushing game, with Jackson, to take advantage of it. And I think we're going to see two or three fumbles, turnovers by the Chargers. And I think Baltimore squeaks this one out at home.
See, I don't think so. The other thing that you got to remember, we got Melvin Gordon in this game, right? We're going to have a healthy Vincent Jackson in this game. I'm sorry, I said Vincent Jackson. Keenan Allen. God, I went old school. Old school San Diego Chargers. No, we're Los Angeles Chargers. Vincent, Keenan Allen. So Keenan Allen's going to be healthy. Melvin Gordon's healthy. I think defensively they're going to be healthy. I don't see the try. You cannot sway me, because once again the NFL did not do the Chargers any favors
right by
scheduling them in this early game on the East Coast.
Yeah. So,
which why not flop Seattle Dallas? I mean, I guess they want Dallas in prime time.
Sure.
I mean, that makes sense.
But again, any of the other games. I mean, the Chicago Philly game works better for Chargers.
Right.
Right. So any of the other three time slots are more in the Chargers. So we're talking about the NFL not doing them favors by they've got the second, or they got the tied for the best record in the AFC, and yet they're playing on the road. Sure, the way things worked out, instead of going to Dallas, instead of going to Houston, not that they would play, but instead of going to Houston, where it's a little different, the climate is maybe about the same. So, I mean, there are a lot of things that would fall in similar. They happen to get the bad end of that coin flip, and they're going all the way out to Baltimore.
Yes.
But then, I don't understand why they stick Baltimore, that game, in the early slot. It is the worst possible slot of the four games this week to put the Chargers in. Any other time slot, I'm probably taking the Chargers. But I think that, I mean, to make your point, you talked about the Chargers beating, late in the season, beating Kansas City.
And Pittsburgh.
Those were both night games. Thursday night and Sunday night football.
Yep.
So they had late evening games as they were going east to play strong teams.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Lady Edith is with me. She's got the Chargers.
She also picked Seattle. So go ahead. Brag all you want. Yeah, no, I have one up on you.
I'm not. I cannot believe she picked the Seattle Seahawks. Maybe I should have shown her the pictures of the logo.
I will let you do that next week. Especially if Dallas wins the game. I'm sorry.
Well,
not
we
if,
know
when.
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 They win the game.
Since we both are very confident Dallas
yes,
is winning
Dallas
this game, we're
the
just going to say when.
All right.
Nah, they better win now.
Final game of Wild Card Weekend, 1:40 p.m. on Sunday Pacific Time. The Philadelphia Eagles come to Soul Culture Field to face the Chicago Bears. I think the dream dies for the Eagles in this game. Yes, it's been a great story. Oh, they were out of it. They had no business. They weren't going to make the playoffs. It's going to be the worst, you know, title defense in the history of the NFL. They're just not going to get in there. And then all of a sudden, oh, they wind up beating Houston. Oh, they beat the Rams. How did they do that? It was magical. Oh, look. They beat Washington because Washington didn't even show up. And then, the Vikings didn't show up. The Vikings and the Washington Redskins did not show up in their respective games on week 17. That's all the Eagles needed. And here we are talking about I'll say it one last time to make a couple people happy.
Defending Super Bowl champion,
Philadelphia Eagles. They sneaked into the playoffs to try and defend their title. 9-7. I really wanted them to be 7-9. Do you know how long it's been since a Super Bowl champion has had a losing record the next year?
Has it been ever?
Years. Been a dozen years.
Dozen years. All right.
Yeah, dozen years. And I really wanted that. I just wanted to stick it to them. Stick it to them one more time. But no, they're in here. They can't.
So this will be really this will be the true that. Test of whether or not the Eagles under Nick Foles are really this good. Are they really as good as the last few weeks have shown? Because I think the Bears are, at least on the NFC side, the most dangerous team in the playoffs.
Because of that defense.
Right. So, I mean, on the NFC side, you've got the Cowboys, a good offense, maybe not great, but a good offense. You've got Seahawks, same thing, good, not great. You've got the Saints, the Rams, both with really strong, productive offenses. If any of those four teams get the offense stripped away, none of those defenses are necessarily winning the game for them.
Right.
Maybe the Cowboys.
Cowboys defense has really stepped it up a bit.
The Cowboys defense is strong. Like, I don't know that the Cowboys defense is what wins over Seattle or the Rams.
Right.
They need the combination of both to be on.
They both got to be
clean. Whereas with the Bears, they could win a 6-3 game against the Rams.
Yeah.
Or Seattle. At L.A. or at New Orleans.
And in Chicago's defense, they beat the Rams and Seattle.
Right.
So they've done that already.
Right. So so this becomes I'm with you. I think the Eagles' dream for this season ends this weekend.
Crashing halt.
In Chicago.
Yes.
I don't see that Eagles' offense being what it was last year, and this Bears' defense is arguably – I don't know that there's even an argument that they are the best defense in the NFL right now. They destroy that Philadelphia offensive line. Foles is running for his life the entire game, doesn't have a chance to do anything.
Get hit a couple times?
Yeah.
I mean, because theoretically, he's a little hurt.
But if I'm wrong on this.
Didn't some dude come in the week 17 to finish the game for the Eagles because he got hurt against Washington?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So
I think I'm fairly confident the Bears are winning this game. But if I happen to be wrong and the Eagles pull this game out, I'm going to have to re-question whether or not they can play what they're going to do the next couple weeks.
Well, if Philadelphia was – here's the crazy thing. If Philadelphia wins, they're off to New Orleans.
Right.
And I don't know. It's going to be very tough. If they beat Chicago, which, you know, it's a possibility.
Right. It's wild card weekend.
Right.
Anything could happen.
Right.
We're confident in the Bears, but anything could happen here.
If they were to beat Chicago, they go off to New Orleans. It definitely stops there. I don't see the Saints in the dome losing to the Eagles.
Right.
That's my dream scenario, by the way, because that means when Dallas beats Seattle, then they're coming out here to Los Angeles to beat the Rams.
Yes.
And I will be at that game.
Of course you will.
I'm just telling you that right now.
I will know where to find you during that game.
Yes, you will. So I got the Bears. You got the Bears. Lady Edith has the Philadelphia Eagles. The whole Eagles, they've been just shaky all year on all facets of the game. Their defense isn't that strong. Their offense, you know, has had its problems. Special teams had its problems. The offense has gotten a little bit better now that, you know, they got Darren Sproles back. They're running the football a little bit. But it's still all going to be, and it's all going to depend on Foles. And if he doesn't have the time, you know, if that defensive line for the Bears gets after him, I think Chicago wins with no problem. So we agree on all but one game.
Yep.
Chargers at Baltimore. So that means you have to lock that in. Are you stamping it in?
Oh, yes, definitely. I'm very confident in Baltimore pulling this one out.
Because you can move over to me and be on the winning side with the Chargers. And then, you know, you'll
flip another game, though, in order.
No. You just get the win and you just forfeit the challenge game.
Exactly. I'm forfeiting a challenge game. Since I'm confident in Baltimore's ability to beat the Chargers.
You're staying there.
In Baltimore at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Yeah, that is.
East Coast time.
That is pretty.
10 o'clock L.A. time.
All right, folks. So there you have it. Chargers at Baltimore is your challenge game. That's the early game. 10 a.m. Pacific time on Sunday. That's all the time we've got. Steve, welcome to 2019. I will promise that next week when we get to the divisional round, I will be a lot better.
Oh, yes. I will be a lot better, too.
All right, cool.
we're talking health-wise?
No, just – well, yeah, health-wise, but, you know, more
Oh, we will be charged up. Yes. After watching Wild Card Weekend,
life will be invigorated.
We will
get pumped. I'm Stephen Miranda.
I'm Steve Fry.
Wherever you are in this great world of ours and however you are listening to the show, thank you very much. We appreciate you. And this has been NFL Rants and Raves. We're out.